he drove this way and could be home with Miss Ricky, his wife, but he drove this way to be here in this meeting. I asked him, he said, "What do you want?" I said, "I just want you around, preacher."
Yeah.
I said, "Just want to pick your brain, just want you around."
Yeah, amen.
And I'm grateful that he's come to be with us. He'll be leaving out in the morning, and that's a long haul all the way down to Lake City. And so I ask you tonight that you'd cover him in your prayers, and in the morning that he'll get home safely.
Amen.
Brother.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
I appreciate what we already heard. I appreciate the message that we heard tonight. Well, didn't y'all appreciate the message we heard tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm glad there is a remnant.
Yes.
And I'm glad we're in it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Brother Sean Tabb and his family. And I appreciate their sacrifice for this week.
Yeah.
And they will not get their payday here.
Amen. Amen.
You won't get your payday on this side.
That's right.
But there is coming a day when the Lord will show you what He thought about what you did this week.
Sir.
And your girls and your little boy will never know until they get to the other side what God thinks.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
About preachers, youngins that go in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they ain't getting a thing out of this. But just Daddy said we're going to do it, and they're helping. And there's coming a good day when all the stuff that it seemed like we got slided down here, God's going to make all this stuff up.
Yes. Amen.
There is a payday, and it'll be worth it all.
Yeah.
And our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And tonight, I appreciate your prayers. And I am doing what the Lord wants me to do, I think. We're going to change gears a little bit. And this is not the usual message that I preach in a camp meeting setting. But our good brother talked about the remnant, and I'd like to give you something that would help you stay where you're supposed to stay.
Amen.
And the reason folks leave, I think, and a lot of folks have left, is we have misunderstood this thing called a Christian life.
Come on, preacher. Yeah.
And we have come into this thing with some unrealistic expectations.
Amen. Amen.
And we think that God has failed us because we have problems.
Yeah, come on.
And there's not a problem that ever comes to you that God did not stamp okay on it before it ever got there.
Amen.
The devil does not invade your life and do anything that God does not give him permission to do.
Amen.
And a lot of things you blame on the devil, he wasn't even around when it took place.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
It's your flesh. You got yourself in that fix. And so I want to give you something tonight that I hope will help you.
Yes.
Is anybody interested in some help? We're going to find some in the Bible. Thank the Lord for the Bible. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to read this chapter, and then I've got five little quick points, if the Lord will help me, to give them to you. And I hope it'll be a blessing. It would be my great joy to know that somebody somewhere this week got some help.
Yeah.
And in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about being a helper of their joy. And I don't think many preachers have read that verse in our day.
Yeah.
But my job here is to help your joy.
Yeah, come on, man.
I can't create it, but I can help it.
Yeah.
And your trip to heaven ought to be a sweeter trip because you bumped up against me this week.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on. Yeah.
Your load ought to be a little bit easier to carry because we have been in this place together this week. And surely God's done something to help you this week. Go back to wherever you got to go back to and live like you're supposed to live. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Would you like to stand up a minute? Would that be all right? I tell you what, let me pray. And then you can step back down because when I start reading, I don't know when I'm going to get through. And so let me pray, then you can sit. Lord, I thank you for this week. It's been such a blessing. I appreciate the kindness, all the hospitality, and all the labor, and all the love that has been shown to me. I thank you, and I'm certainly unworthy, and I know better than anybody else in this room. My limitations, and I know, Lord, more than anybody else, my unworthiness. But I bless your good name tonight that you have made us accepted in the beloved. And you're not looking at me, but you're looking at your son, and you're looking at your sheep, and you're looking at your flock. And it's your desire to help us tonight, and I pray you'd help. And Lord, give victory where it's needed. Give strength, give wisdom, give encouragement. If there's a rebuke, give it in kindness and gentleness and love. And direct us and help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Uh-oh. Let me just stop right there.
Yeah.
And can I get my hanky out of my back pocket?
Yeah.
Can I wave my hanky a little bit and thank the Lord for the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus? Jesus is meek. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I thank God for the meek and the lowly Son of God. Don't ever confuse meekness with weakness. He's not saying that he's a sissy. He's not saying that he's a wimp. He's not saying that he's not strong. What he's saying is he is the omnipotent one that has condescended and has come down into a body of flesh and limited himself. And limited himself so that he could accommodate my need. He could carry my load. He could take my place. He could let me approach him. He'll take my load willingly. He'll take my burden gladly. He did not have to do it. He does not have to do it. But he does it anyway. He could run me off. I don't deserve to be in his presence. But he allows something like me to walk up to him and say, here is a messed up life. Here's my burden. Here's my heartache. Here's my fear. Here's my tear. Here's my failure. And he does not run me off. He does not rebuke me. He does not say, come back later.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank God. Amen.
Somebody ought to shout about that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was telling you, some of us were talking this week about dogs.
Yeah.
And I was telling about my wife likes dogs. And she likes the kind of dogs that I don't like. And she likes big dogs. And one day I was at the house and she called me and she said, now I know what you're fixing to say, but just hear me out. And I said, oh Lord, what is it? She said, there's two puppies up here at the church. And they're solid white. And they're gorgeous puppies. And they have a lot of potential. And before you say no, just get a look at them. I said, all right. She started crying. Just, please don't say no. I said, well, bring them on. Bring them on. She brought them to the house. They were pretty puppies. But their feet were enormous. I said, do you have any idea how big these dogs are going to get? I know, they won't get too big. I said, look at their feet. Turns out they were Great Pyrenees. One of them grew to be 160 pounds, and the other was 130, something like that. Oh, them dogs aggravated me every day of my life. And they were precious dogs until they got to digging up her plants. And then I had to fix them a place back where my barn is. Put up more fence and put them back where the barn is. And them crazy dogs dug holes that deep all the way around. My barn had a moat around it. And then they got in the lean-to and had a floor in it. And they would grab the floorboards and rip them up. And every morning I'd go out and they would meet me at the gate with a chunk of my barn in their mouth. Wagging their tail. Like, look at here, brag on me now. And I'd look at them dogs and I'd say, you worthless piece of flesh. You are a worthless. You are a worthless piece of flesh. You ain't nothing but an oxygen thief. You serve no good purpose on this planet. And my wife got on to me one day, and she said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. She said, they're just dogs. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
That's what dogs do.
Yeah.
And I happen to remember
that
one of the words for worship in the New Testament is to lick the hand like a dog. And when I met them dogs at the fence every morning, all they were doing is trying to get close enough to lick my hand and to worship me.
Yeah. Amen, preacher. Yeah.
And the Lord reminded me.
Yeah, come on.
That's exactly what I'm like every day, every time. I bring Him nothing.
Amen.
I don't bring anything to Him that He really needs.
Amen.
Matter of fact, more often than not, I've tore up something. And I've messed up something.
Amen.
I ain't good for nothing. But He lets an old cur like me get close enough to lick His hand. He accepts my worship. Glory! He accepts my worship. I don't deserve to be there. But He accepts my worship. He left. You've got to get close enough to touch Him. And you can't get there unless He lets you get there. He can run us all off. He can send us all to hell. But He lets us get close enough.
You're right. Thank God.
To worship.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's a sad day. It's a sad day when we see preachers who are so caught up in themselves that you can't even approach them. And you got 15 secretaries you got to go through just to talk to the pastor. And they have an entourage that goes along with them when they preach out so that nobody can touch them. Because they're too busy. And they're too important. For you to approach them. I bless His lovely name. That the omnipotent God made Himself flesh so that an old cur like me can kneel at His feet. He can put His hand on my head. And I can lick His hand. And He says, boy, that's good. That's why I made you. That's what I had in mind when I got a handful of dust. And made a man in my own image. I just wanted you to bow and look at me and love me and appreciate me. You can come. You can come to me. And I'll carry your load. And I'll take your burden. Oh, what a Savior. Can somebody help me praise the Lord tonight? Whoa, what a Savior. Oh, what a lovely Lord.
Come on.
Thank God, he's meek.
Yes.
My wife has two horses. They weigh about 1,500, 2,000 pounds apiece. And I got a little granddaughter that's 2 years old. And I can set my granddaughter on the back of either one of them horses. And they don't buck. They don't go crazy. They let me sit that little girl on their back without a saddle, without a bridle, without any restraint. And they'll carry that little girl around. And they won't hurt her. They could kill her. They could kill her. But they carry her around. They treat her like she's precious. My little old wife is a little short, petite lady. She can climb on their back, put a bridle in their mouth. Every time you put that bridle in the mouth, it hurts. That bridle works on the principle of pain. And they let my little wife climb on their back and use pain to make them go where they had no intention of going. That's meekness. That's meekness. When the Son of God lets you climb up on His back and He'll carry you places you want to go. He'll give you things just because you want them. He said, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness. Ain't that a good Savior? That's a good way to call the church to order. That's a good way for a pastor to call his people together. That's a good way to meet a potential church fight. That's a good way to deal with church problems. That's a good way to deal with your crowd when they're trying to fight with each other. I beseech you by the meekness and by the gentleness of Christ. Now Paul is having to deal with some things. He said, before we ever get started, let's look at our Savior.
That's good. Amen.
Before we bang the gavel and call the meeting to order, let's look at our Savior.
Amen.
By the way, anytime you've got a confrontation of any sort, before you ever call the thing to order, you better stop and look at your Savior.
Amen.
You better stop and consider your Savior.
Amen.
You husbands and wives ought to stop and consider your Savior. You children ought to consider your Savior. You deacons ought to consider your Savior.
Right.
You preachers ought to consider your Savior.
Amen.
Before you start anything.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Well, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you? He said, now, you folks are looking at me and the way I look, and you're judging me by the way I look. He said, in presence, I'm base among you. And you remember, in the first part of 1 Corinthians, they are arguing over who is the best preacher. Well, come on now, don't die on me now. They were arguing about who's the best preacher. Some of them said, I'm of Apollos, because he's a great speaker. Some of them said, I'm of Cephas, or that's Simon Peter, because he was one of the original 12. And some of them was the crowd I'd really be afraid of. They said, well, we're just of Jesus. That's the bunch I'm really afraid of. Then some of them said, well, we like Paul. Well, Paul said, now, wait a minute here. When it comes to lining all these fellas up, when you look at me, you can't compare me physically to all the rest of them because I don't measure up physically. Well, of course he didn't. He's been beaten three times. He got stoned and left for dead. His teeth got knocked out. He had probably one eye on one side of his head. Sure he didn't measure up physically. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And they were looking at him like when he shows up, he's a little short humpback Jew. He don't look very pretty. We can't put him on the TV.
Come on.
We We can't even put his picture in the sword so that we'll come to the revival because he's so ugly when you look at him. Nobody wanted to hear him when they saw him walk up. Well, some of you preachers ought to shout.
Yes, amen.
We all ain't got to be pretty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, I'm base among you. I don't measure up.
Come on.
How many of you preachers besides me, when you go to a meeting and you look around at all the rest of the preachers, and they all tall, they all got a head full of hair. They have that preacher's voice. They look. They have that dignified look. And I walk up and they just wonder what haystack I crawled up from under. And I feel so inadequate when I look and see everybody else.
Amen. Come on.
Well, verse 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith some think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, not only were they comparing him physically, but they were looking at Paul and they were saying, now, you know, old Paul is not even a spiritual man.
Yeah. Come on.
He does what he does through the flesh.
Come on.
Now, Brother Sean, I feel my gift of prophecy kicking in here. I am not a prophet. I'm trying to be a little funny here and it ain't working. But I see something coming down the road. 2 or 3 years from now, when you outgrow this thing, and you can't get everybody in here, and you got that 3,000 seat tent up on the knoll there, there's going to be a bunch of folks going to say, yeah, old Tab's down there, it's all flesh. It's just flesh. Isn't it funny? When they go to their little place where there's 13 people, it's all spirit. But when God blesses somebody else, it's always flesh. Hey, newsflash. God can fill up anybody's building that He wants to, and it's not always flesh. Quit blaming your failure on somebody else's success. God will bless a man that'll sell out, and God will give him souls, and God will fill up his building if you'll honor him. Amen goes real big right there. And it ain't flesh. Just flesh. All that bunch is flesh. They worship in the flesh. All that shouting is flesh. That's all I got to shout in. That thing right there is flesh. That's all I got to raise up is flesh. I can't worship Him in anything but flesh. There is a spirit in this flesh that's trying to get out. He put something in me that He wants out. And this is all I've got to raise. That's all I got to kick with. This is all I got to talk with. Sure it's flesh. Sure it's flesh. You sing in the flesh.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you know all my clothes are worldly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
This is a worldly tie.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on.
When them apostles opened up a garment store in Gatlinburg, something they made in heaven, I'm going to go buy me one of them.
Yeah. Come on.
This is all flesh. Right. This is worldly.
Amen.
Worldly suit. J.C. Penney.
Yeah.
Just flesh.
Yeah.
Well, Paul said, look here, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And I don't want to have to be as bold when I get there as I am while I'm writing this letter.
Yeah.
How many of us are real bold when we're writing the letter?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
It wouldn't do to show up in person and say in person what you're fixing writing that letter.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
says, y'all claiming that I'm just walking according to flesh. Verse 3, Paul amens everything I just said. For though we walk in the flesh. Y'all missed that glorious point there, didn't you?
Come on.
We walk in the flesh.
Yeah.
Sure we do.
Amen.
We do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh.
Amen.
Y'all are slow on the draw. We do not war after the flesh.
Amen.
You can't do that.
Yeah. Come on. We got you.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Oh, I wish I had about 2 hours. We could stay there a while.
Yeah.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Amen.
But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I was hoping that somebody would enjoy that little phrase
amen.
Out there. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Casting down imaginations.
Come on.
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Right.
And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thought y'all would like that.
Yeah.
Anybody interested in that?
Yeah, amen.
Bringing into captivity every thought.
Yeah, there you go.
To the obedience of Christ. Would you like to have your thought life obedient to the Lord?
Amen. Yeah.
And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. You ever get mad at your disobedience?
Come on.
You ever want to go slap your disobedience right
amen.
Up against the head?
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
Having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Yeah.
Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. Now you might want to rethink this thing now.
Yeah.
That as He is Christ, even so are we Christ.
Amen.
Did y'all know there's a bunch of folks that don't think we're even saved?
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
Because of the way we worship, we're not even saved.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
Brother was preaching, when was it? Barry Goodman. When was he preaching? He said his alma mater said that he would go to heaven if he didn't overrun it. He's liable to run past it.
Yeah.
They were making fun of him for the way he... And by the way, you ought to be careful about doubting somebody else's salvation. You don't know. You, there is a day coming when it will be revealed what's wheat and what's tares, but right now you don't know. I don't know who's saved in this room tonight. But if that trumpet sounds, we'll find out in about 2 seconds on the other side. But right now, I don't know. I'm not here to judge your salvation. You're not here to judge mine.
Amen.
Just read my text. That'd be all right. Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, who are we?
Yeah.
Here's a little verse nobody read in a long time. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us.
Amen.
Now here's what they ain't read. Why did you get that authority?
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Why did God make you the pastor of that church?
Come on. Preacher, yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Here's what pastoral authority is all about. God did not make you the pastor over that church to rule that church. It is not your church. It is not your body. It's His body. It's His church. You didn't buy it. He bought it with His blood. He didn't put you over to run it. He put the Holy Ghost in you to run it. I'm about tired of preachers hurting people just because they are the pastor. You ought to honor your pastor. But if your pastor has a shepherd's heart, you'll fall in behind him and won't have a bit of trouble following him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Why do you think you preach? They are listening for His voice to come through you. And if you ain't sounding like Jesus, no wonder they don't want to follow you. He hath given us for edification and not for your destruction.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, you reckon we're giving invitation now?
Amen.
Oh, wait a little while.
Amen.
Not for your destruction.
That is good.
But for your edification.
Yeah.
And I should not be ashamed.
Yeah.
Paul said, I don't want to have to go down there and do what I'm going to have to do because I'm liable to be ashamed.
Yes.
Won't you just look back at the meekness and the gentleness of Christ? Let's just look at this thing the way we ought to.
Yeah.
Verse 9, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters.
Yeah.
For His letters say they are weighty and powerful. But His bodily presence is weak and His speech contemptible. Not only was Paul ugly, but he didn't have a good preacher voice.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said his speech is contemptible. That word contemptible means not even worth hearing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine hearing Paul preach and then saying that wasn't even worth listening to?
Yeah.
Come on.
He can write a pretty good letter.
Yeah.
But I'm going to the bathroom whenever he gets up to preach.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
Funny how them kidneys go to work.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
When your man's preaching.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
When kidneys don't ever kick in. You don't ever get thirsty.
Amen, preacher.
When your group is singing.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Ain't we having a good time?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm leaving tomorrow. Y'all be through with me after tonight.
Amen.
Ain't it funny how them kidneys kick in when you don't like to hear him?
Come on.
It would do you well to learn to listen to everybody.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Preaching styles have nothing to do with the truth.
Amen.
Yeah.
I wish if I could pick out my preaching style, I'd be a hacker.
Yeah.
I love to hear that. I wish I was a hacker. I don't know how they do it.
I don't either.
But I'd love to do it. That sounds like a lot of fun preaching that way.
Yeah,
amen.
They put their hand behind their ear, and boy, they go off into 900 miles into glory.
Yeah, amen.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
But the hacking is not what the preaching is.
Amen.
What are they saying when they're hacking?
Yeah, come on.
Anyway, I'm hastening. I'm getting way behind here.
Preach on, preach. You're doing good.
He's ugly, and he had this sneaky voice.
Yeah.
Humpback man, can't even see over the pulpit.
Yeah.
Little short fellow, he's so small, they let him down in a basket over the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
High, squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Y'all ever got some of them audios of old-time preachers and been disappointed when you heard them? Well, here's what I'm trying to get. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Yeah.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah, I read.
Let me read that again. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule of God, which hath distributed us a measure to reach even unto you. He said, now look here. Whatever God gave me, it was good enough to get to you.
Amen.
Somebody ought to throw the hank in there and shout.
Amen.
My gift may not be the best, but it got to somebody.
Yeah.
He used it to reach somebody.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Somebody got it.
Yeah.
Verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope. When your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
For not he that commendeth himself is approved.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Right. Bragging on yourself don't mean that,
amen.
That you yeah. got it.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
That brags on itself may not have it. But whom the Lord commendeth. Well, somebody ought to shout, the Lord will brag on some of us. The Lord's real pleased with some of us. And He'll let you know. Now, Paul said, your problem down there is y'all are comparing yourselves among yourselves. And in doing that, you have allowed the devil to build strongholds in your mind when you begin to compare yourself among yourselves. Now, most people, when they preach this passage, they're always talking about liquor and drugs and all that stuff. He's not talking about liquor. He's not talking about drugs.
Amen.
He's talking about your mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the devil will build up a stronghold, a castle in your mind when you begin to look at all these other preachers and compare your life and your ministry to everybody else.
Yeah.
When you begin to look at everybody else that sings, if you're not careful, you'll let the devil build up a stronghold in your mind when you measure yourself against some of the rest of them.
Yeah.
When you look at your ministry, and you can stand up in the meeting and tell folks you print tracts, and somebody come up and say something real ugly to you, and try to make you think that what you're doing is not as much ministry as what these other fellas are doing. And the devil will build a big old stronghold in your mind to make you doubt your sanity and doubt your call and doubt the effectiveness and the value of what God calls you to do. Having a rescue mission, people will look at that and think somehow that's a sub-ministry. Why are you wasting your time doing that? Well, glory to God, we're seeing why you use your time that way. Don't ever let anybody talk you into thinking that what you're doing is not as good as what somebody else is doing. Why are you dragging your family up down the road? They'll talk to you like that and the devil will beat you to death. What are you doing to your children? What are you doing to your wife? Are they going to turn out all right? Is the devil going to use it to beat them to death? He'll build a big old castle in your mind so that when you crank up that van and start down the road, you want to turn back around and go find a job somewhere and be like everybody else. That sound right? Hey, preacher, when you go to the fellowship meeting, why in the world has everybody got to know how many you're running? Who cares how many you had last Sunday? I don't go to meet and see who had the big crowd. If you're pastoring in Podunk and Possum Trot, if you had 15, thank God for them.
Amen. Amen.
thank God for your 15.
Yes, sir.
If you can't be excited about pastoring 15, you won't ever be excited about pastoring 15,000. It's not the size of your crowd. There is no such thing as a little church. There are great churches. And a 15-member church that's right with God is a great church. When that trumpet sounds, that little 15-member crowd ain't going to get left behind. It's precious to the lovely Lord. He died the same day for your 15 as He did somebody else's 5,000.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you ain't doing nothing.
Come on.
That little old bunch down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, yes, you're doing something.
Yeah. Amen.
I pastored a little church in my hometown for almost 9 years. And when I went there, they were so broke. Termites had got in the parsonage. It took us 3 Sundays to raise $145 to get the termite people to... That's how broke they were.
Yeah.
And green scum growing on the side of the building. Shingles falling off, and it was a mess. I went in there, had about 10 or 15 people. And if I'd had good sense, I wouldn't even went there. And the Lord blessed, and folks started coming. And that was a strange place. Folks would come. We'd have 150 one Sunday and 40 the next. And nobody's mad. Nobody's sick. They just took a vacation. I ain't going back to church.
Yeah.
6 months later, they all show back up. Nobody's mad. They ain't joined another church. They hadn't went to church. They just, I ain't going back to church till I get ready.
Yeah.
Took them 6 months to get back. That sound like a church you pastor. And during one of them lean times, nobody thought that the preacher needed a raise.
Right. Yeah.
During that time, we'd already increased our family about 300%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody stopped to think maybe the old preacher might need a little $10 or $15 a week extra.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit behind. It was a dunning me, and folks was, you know, just wasn't coming. It was depressing. And one of the faithful ladies in our church came down with stomach cancer. And she was dying. And during that time, one of the only family that helped me do anything came up to me one day and said, "Well, preacher, just start by to tell you we're not coming back anymore. We're going to go join the Primitive Baptist." That's the only time in recent history that anybody's ever left a missionary-minded Baptist church to go join a Primitive Baptist.
Yeah.
That, just, that don't happen.
That don't happen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Primitive Baptist church. If y'all don't know that, ever see me have a church, I'll let Brother Sean explain it to you. So I had to go to Gainesville to see the lady in the hospital. I had to stop by and pay some bills that were past due, and driving down the road and just discouraged, and got to the hospital. After having going begging and pleading for mercy at the Sears store, and went up to the hospital and walked in the room, and the lady was having a convulsion. When I walked in there, nobody was there to visit her. She was there right by herself. She had lost down to about 65, 70 pounds, and she was shaking all over the bed as white as a ghost. And what was supposed to go down came up, and there was a double handful laying right there beside her mouth. And when she came out of the coma, her eyes had rolled back. When she finally could focus, she was so weak she couldn't talk. And she looked at me, and she could mouth. I could see on her mouth. She looked at me, and she said, "Why? Why?" I'm as discouraged as I've ever been in my life. I'm whooped. I am whooped. And I said, "Patsy, I can't tell you why. I don't know why. All I know is that God's going to help you some kind of way." And I tried to pray and was walking down that hall with a weight of 40 worlds on my shoulders.
Come on, Richard.
I was whooped.
Yeah, preacher.
Amen. I was
brother.
As whooped as I've ever been in my life. I got in the car and I was expecting the Lord to show up most any minute. Well, guess who showed up?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the Lord.
Yeah.
Guess who got in the car with me?
Yeah, amen.
Yes, sir.
My old adversary jumped in there with me and he began to say, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, they're beating the door down to go hear you preach, ain't they?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great job, aren't you?
Come on, brother.
You're a big old failure, ain't you? Look at all them boys you went to college with. Look where they're preaching. Look what they drove up to the last meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
I had one of them old friendly cars. The bumper waved at me as he went down the road. It was rust bucket. Anybody bear witness with me now? And the devil's beating me up, and I'm thinking, now, Lord, you're going to show up any minute now and run that rascal off.
Yeah.
Well, in a few minutes, the Lord showed up. I'm expecting the Lord to just be so wonderful and miraculous.
Come on, brother.
The devil's telling me what a failure I am, and the Lord said, you know, son, he's right. Well, one time the devil told the truth, and it was on me. He said, you're right, son. He's right, son. You ain't no success. You ain't no success.
Yeah.
I said, Lord.
Yeah.
I thought me and you was friends. He said, okay. While we're talking about failures, I want you to look at the devil in his eyeball and tell him when it comes to failures, he's a lot bigger failure than you are.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now, is anybody saved in the house? He's a lot bigger failure than you are. Take him back to that day when I hung on the cross and I knocked him in the head and I stripped him and I robbed him and I spoiled him and he ain't never gone over it. Take him back there. And he said, while we're talking about it, I didn't send you there to be a success. I'm about to take three laps. I didn't send you there to be a success. I sent you there to be faithful in my record book. My record book says you have been faithful. You have been faithful. That's all I wanted you to be was faithful. Glory to God. I just wanted you to be faithful. He took 19 million worlds off of me. I didn't care if there was three at church Sunday. He said, all I wanted you to do was just be faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
Now the devil will crawl up on your shoulder and build things up and make you think things that are not even so. We got some young folks in the house. Would y'all listen to me just a minute? You'll look at what everybody else has. And you'll think that somehow you're getting cheated because you're not going to all the places everybody else goes. And you don't have what they have. And the devil will blow that thing up in your mind.
Yes, sir.
And make you think that your mama and your daddy hate you.
Yes. Yeah.
Make you think that your preacher is just an old dinosaur that don't really know what life's all about.
Yeah.
Come on now, help me out you.
Yeah.
And he'll talk you into thinking that you're the most deprived, mistreated, forsaken, neglected child.
Yeah.
And you parents have done your best to keep them away from all them heathens.
Amen.
But when Christmas time comes and you go to Granny's, they hear it from your family.
Come on. Preach on that, brother.
They hear it from your family.
Lay it out there. Amen.
And you look at all them little skinny anorexic girls, and you'll think if you go over there and eat in that line, you're going to gain 5 pounds and nobody's ever going to want you.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Preach, brother. Amen.
Come on.
Lord, why do I get here?
Come on.
Something just popped in my head.
Preach it.
Preach.
Oh, no, you don't know what's in my head. I can't preach this, but I'll tell it. A fella asked me one time. He was serious. He was dating a lady that was a little large. And he said, "Do you think there's anything wrong with marrying a fat woman?" I'm serious. I ain't making this up. God is my witness. This is the truth. I said, "No, there ain't nothing wrong with marrying a fat woman. Ain't a bit different than marrying a fat one than marrying a skinny one and getting her fat down the road. It don't make a bit of difference." Now, all the women are mad at me now, I can tell. Don't take all this stuff personal. But you'll grieve yourself into an imaginary state.
Yeah.
Help me now.
Amen.
You're living in imaginations and not reality. Since all you women are mad at me, let me go ahead and get this on out of the way. One of your big problems is you're judging your marriage by everybody else's marriage.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And somebody's husband got her a ring for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you've got another set of dish rags.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, she's doing a whole lot better than you are.
Yeah.
Come on.
And that old fella you married don't really love you. And
come on. Come on, preacher.
And you're living in a little single-wide manufactured house.
Yeah.
And somebody else is living in a mansion on the hill.
Yeah.
Now, I am preaching now.
Yeah.
This is preaching.
Amen.
And you'll begin to live in an imaginary world where nobody loves you.
Yes, yeah.
And your husband works the midnight shift and he comes home about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning with enough grease and grit on him to scar him for life. And he's so tired he plops in the bed and you're about half mad at him because you want to sit up and drink coffee and eat croutons and bonbons. While you unload all of the stuff.
Come on.
He just doesn't love me anymore.
Yeah, come on.
And then you'll go off to work and listen to all them old women that you work with talk about all of their problems, and all y'all have convinced each other that all men are boar hogs. Now, if you men are not henpecked, would you please say amen?
Amen.
Is that not the way it works?
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, men.
Come on.
Come on, preacher.
You're just as bad.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
You're just as bad.
Yeah.
You have convinced yourself that your wife does not love you because you can't give her all the stuff that you want to give her.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
And you have built that thing up in your mind so that you think you are a failure and she doesn't love you.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
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 And that's an imagination.
Yeah.
Hey, genius, she didn't marry you because you were rich.
Come on. Amen. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Yeah.
When y'all got married, none of you had a thing.
Amen.
And you think she don't love you now because you're not multimillionaires? What are you thinking?
Amen. Yeah.
She loved you when you were poor.
Right.
She's going to love you right on being poor.
Amen.
If she ever loved you at all. We live in this imaginary world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
Oh, Lord, no wonder y'all looking that way. I'm going to hurry up.
Preach.
One of my favorite verses over in James, where James says that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Elijah fell prey to the same thing we fall into.
Amen. Yeah.
Elijah got in that imaginary world.
Yeah. Amen.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Amen. Amen.
I'm the last one left.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
The same man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That the Lord said, go tell Ahab it ain't going to rain till I say it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Amen.
Was that real or was that imaginary?
Come on. Yeah.
That's real.
Amen.
Told the king it will not rain until this old preacher says it will
Amen.
Rain.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's real.
Yeah.
Guess what? It didn't rain.
Amen.
Right.
And the Lord said, go live by a brook.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a dandy place to homestead when there's a drought coming.
Yeah.
Is a brook.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that real or was that imaginary?
Amen.
That's real.
Yeah.
Brook dried up and the Lord said, don't worry about it. I got some ravens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Now, if that had been independent Baptists, they'd have starved to death because they wouldn't eat anything that a raven brought.
Yeah.
Because they're too separated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah. La 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 la.
Yeah, amen.
Every morning, every evening, that raven brought him bread and flesh.
Yes, sir.
Is that real or is that imaginary?
Yeah, that's real.
Sent him to a widow woman. Said she will sustain thee.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What does she have? Two sticks?
Yeah.
One cup of meal? And a little bit of oil?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Oh, but by the way, before Elijah ever got there, the Lord visited the woman and said, hey, the preacher's coming, and you're going to take care of him.
Amen.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
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 He got there. She's gathering two sticks.
Yeah.
She's a Baptist lady.
Yeah.
She has enough to die on, but not enough to live on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
Hello.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, fix me a cake. Well, if I fix you a cake, I'll have nothing. Fix me a cake. God told, he's going to take, don't worry about it. Is that real or imaginary?
It's real.
Every day she went back, there's still another cup of meal in the barrel.
Yeah.
Is that real or is that imaginary?
That's real.
Her boy died.
Yeah.
Elijah stretched himself out on that boy and raised him from the dead. Is that real or is that imaginary?
Yeah.
400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets got killed. Elijah cut their head off. God answered with fire. Was that real or is that imaginary? Jezebel got after him.
Yeah.
Said, I'm going to kill you.
Amen.
It is strange that 400 prophets of Baal didn't scare him, but one painted up woman
sir.
Did.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You ladies do not know how intimidating you really are. All of the men said, Amen. A little 90-pound woman will back you into a corner in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Every time she wins, every time she wins, every time. Well, I'm the last one left. Is that real or is that imaginary? It's imaginary. A lot of you fellas are thinking that you're the last one. That's in your mind. Just in case you don't know this, there's a bunch of them out there you don't know anything about.
Yeah, amen.
Guess what? For Monday, I didn't know none of you fellas even existed. Turns out there's a lot of salt up here in these old mountains.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said, let me die. I'm the last one. Is that real or is that imaginary? It's imaginary. Let me hasten on and say this. How did Elijah die?
He didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Hear me.
Amen.
Hear me.
Well, let me shout for you. He didn't die.
Amen.
The one thing he was scared to death of never happened. It was all in his mind.
Amen.
He never did die.
Amen.
He's still alive.
Amen.
In a body somewhere in heaven.
Amen.
He never...
Yes,
he never did die. Somebody ought to get that. He never did die.
Amen.
He never did die.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
He never did die.
Amen.
Boy, wasn't he surprised when heaven's limousine drove up. He said, get in.
Amen.
Be just as surprised as you are when the trumpet sounds and says, get in. You ain't expecting to go.
Come on.
You ain't looking for the Lord to come. You're hoping for the next election to change things. When are you going to quit electing Democrats and Republicans to fix what Democrats and Republicans tore up? They'd one tore it up. Go elect another batch of them. They'll tear it up again.
Amen.
Care who they are.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Amen, preacher. Yeah. Come on.
I didn't mean to be here this long. Please forgive me. I'm about to hush.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to be brief. Here's my 5 points.
Amen.
Come on.
They're little ones. There's no sub points. There's 5. They're quick. Well, the first one ain't, but the rest of them are. You're in that imaginary world again, I can tell. Y'all think 5 little points are going to keep you here at midnight? Maybe, but it'll be the Lord, it won't be me. We have some weapons.
Yeah.
It's going to take all night with that kind of response. We have some weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds so that you will think the way you're supposed to think so that you can stay where you're supposed to stay and you'll fight the right enemy. You'll love the brethren and you'll be faithful. Number one, we can pray.
Amen.
Amen. We can pray.
Yeah. That's right.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yeah.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer.
Yeah.
We can pray. Let me tell you this real quick and we're going to move on. And y'all ever remember reading the story in your Bible of Hannah?
Yeah. Come on. Amen. That's right.
Remember reading that?
Yeah.
Hannah had a husband named Elkanah or Elkanah, ever how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Just L. O L. If he's in North Florida, they just shortened it to L, O-L. Had 2 wives, Peninnah and Hannah.
Yeah.
Peninnah means ruby or coral. It's a picture of the world. And Hannah means graciousness or grace.
Yeah.
Peninnah was an adversary to Hannah.
Yeah.
The world is always going to be an adversary to grace.
Yeah.
Her adversary teased her and taunted her because she was barren.
Yeah.
See, back then it was a blessing to have children.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And she was upset because she didn't have any children.
Yeah.
And the only place she had to go was the house of God that was in Shiloh.
Yeah.
And there was a priest there. Anybody remember his name?
Eli.
What do we know about Eli? He's 98 years old and he's fat and he's blind.
Yeah.
And he has given up on the ministry.
Amen.
He's quit.
Amen.
He's let his boys be vile. He don't say anything. He's just there drawing a paycheck.
Amen.
But
Amen.
That's the only place she had to go.
Amen.
And she went to an old, blind, fat, 98-year-old priest and poured out her heart to the only priest she had. But God was merciful to her and granted her request. Through an old, fat, blind, 98-year-old, useless priest. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You have a much better priest to go to. You have a much better altar to pray at. You got a lot more hope in your priest than Hannah ever had in her.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank God for prayer.
Yeah.
If y'all wasn't so tired, I'd tell you a half hour's worth of stories in my life.
Amen, preacher.
About God answering prayer.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about 40 years ago. I'm talking about recent.
Yeah, amen.
That's how God answers prayer. You ought to be telling me after church.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The men right there. Somebody prayed. Hey, you didn't go to an old blind 98-year-old fat priest. He couldn't snatch these boys out of hell. Am I going to have to do the preaching and the shouting?
You're preaching right.
You've got a good priest to go pray to.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, we pray. And number two, we obey.
Come on. Amen.
Did you know prayer is not a substitute for obedience?
Amen.
And a lot of folks are praying about things that they should be obeying rather than praying. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience.
Amen.
It's a lot easier to pray about something instead of just going and doing right. Ain't what got Saul in trouble? He was trying to have a sacrifice through disobedience.
Amen.
It don't work.
Right.
Some of you ladies are praying for your husband or your lost children, and you're living like a witch.
Come on.
And you're praying every service at the altar. About something you have not obeyed in yet.
Come on, preacher.
You're mean to your husband, and you're mean to your young'uns, and you're praying instead of obeying.
Amen.
I believe I got enough Bible for this. 1 Peter chapter 3. It's your chaste conversation coupled with fear that God uses.
That's right, preacher.
When you pray.
Amen.
And without that, you pray, you can pray till your head falls off. Some of you men are doing the same thing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You're supposed to love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And be not bitter against them that your prayers be not hindered. You can pray till your head falls off. But until you start obeying. Some of you young folks pray all the time, but you are rebellious. You can pray every day. You can come to this altar every service, but until you obey what you know to be right, your prayer life ain't going to work. Number three, I told you it's quick. Number three, you stay and don't stray. One of the big problems is we want to run. I live out in the country. And it's not unusual for me to get up in the morning. There's turkey, wild turkeys in the back. I saw six deer the other day in the backyard. And there's all kind of possums and coons and coyotes and all kind of wildlife out there. And there's some hawks that live out there in my woods. And every morning them hawks get up and chase the songbirds off.
Come on.
Daylight cracks them songbirds right there, making that beautiful music. And but when the sun gets up, the hawk begins to screech, and the songbirds get quiet. And they go hush. The way a hawk sounds is not melodious. It's terrifying. It's so terrifying that my old chickens, if a buzzard flies over and they see the shadow, if that hawk is out there, they'll run to the house. Because they don't know if it's the hawk or the buzzard. That old hawk is flying around making that screeching noise. You know what he's doing? There's a rabbit out there hidden somewhere. Safe. But when he hears that hawk, he thinks, I got to go find me a safer place. And he'll see a patch of brush over there, and he thinks that's a safer patch. And he'll run from the safe place, trying to find a safer place, and he becomes dinner for Brother Hawk. That's why we have the contemporary movement. They're trying to find a safer place. And they're getting destroyed. That's why they got all these crazy Bibles. They're trying to find a safer bit. And they're getting destroyed. And that's why churches go through their upheavals, as people are trying to find a safer place. There is no safer place than that church God planted you in. And that pastor God put you under. And the ministry God called you to do. Well, that's one, two, three. All right, here's four. Just say it's okay. I'm not the best preacher here. And it's okay.
Yeah. Good, preacher.
It's okay.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not the Protestant here. It's okay. You didn't like my message. That's okay.
Amen.
Hope he never comes back. That's okay.
Amen.
My church ain't as big as your church. It's okay.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't you just tell the Lord it's okay.
Yeah.
That you don't have what everybody else has.
That's good.
Is that all right?
Yeah. Amen.
I was talking to Brother Sean. We've got a little girl in our church who has spina bifida. And she can walk, but it's with old heavy braces. And if you saw her, you would think that her legs were normal. But if you take those braces off, her little legs are about that big around. But she's never let that stop her.
Yeah,
and she swings those legs
yeah,
around.
That's right.
And the other day, here a while back sometime, she was in the choir singing. And was having choir members to testify. And I noticed that for a few services before, she would get up out of her seat and go to the back of the church and sit down and lean up against the back wall, and tears would run down her face. And I didn't know what she was doing, but in her testimony, she said, I guess y'all been noticing that I go to the back and sit down. She said, I hurt so bad, even sitting in that padded pew, that I can't sit there any longer. And the only place I can find where I get relief is to prop up against the back wall. Her mother died when she was 5 years old. Died suddenly. She's lived her life without her mama. Her daddy put up fence, and she spent most of her life growing up sitting in the cab of a Ford truck in the heat and in the cold while her daddy put up fence. And never said a word. Never complained.
Amen.
And she said, I was praying the other day and I said, God, it just don't seem fair that you took my mama and you've taken my legs. It's very unlikely she'll ever marry or have children. And she said, now, God, I have to hurt. And then she said, you know what the Lord did? He reminded me that when I was born, I was not supposed to feel anything. And she said, I had to say, Lord, thank you that I can feel pain.
Amen. Yeah.
I can feel something. Thank you, God, that I can feel something. What she said was, Lord, it's okay.
Yeah.
Got a boy, young man, he's 30-something years old. He got his neck broke. He's paralyzed from his neck down. The only thing he can move is his head and his eyes and his mouth. And he was one of the first people in this country that ever got a pacemaker for the lungs. And every 4.5 seconds, that pacemaker works something that makes his lungs work. And without that, he would suffocate. And his parents get up every 4 hours to turn him at night. They have not had a night's sleep in 6 years. But they take turns getting up every so many hours turning him. Well, not at midnight, in turning him, the machine quit. And they were frantic trying to get it plugged back in, get it working right. And they almost didn't get it plugged in time. But they got it going, and he recovered. And on Fridays, we have a little meeting out there at his house, just to encourage him. And was out there, and he was telling us about it. And he said, you know what occurred to me while I was just laying there looking out the window? I got to die one day. I got to stand before the Lord.
Yeah.
And he said, God's going to ask me, Chris, what did you do with that chair I put you in? What did you do with that bed you have to lay in? What did you do with that machine that makes you breathe? Did you honor me? Did you tell anybody about me? He said, it's okay that I'll never walk. He was engaged to be married when he got hurt. He's not married now. He told her, just go on. You'll never have a life with me. He will come to church, and the only time he ever cries is when he sees all the rest of them are their children, and he knows that he'll never be a daddy. But he'll testify, and he'll brag on the Lord, and he'll smile, and he says, it's okay. I'm going to tell you what will bring revival to your church and to your family and your home. If you just haul off and hit you an altar somewhere and tell God it's okay.
Amen, preacher. Yeah. Amen. Good, preacher. Yeah.
It's okay that Granny died.
Yeah. Amen.
She's in a better place.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. I'm amazed how many folks are mad at God because Granny's not in the nursing home no more.
Come on. Yeah. Amen, preacher. Yeah.
You go to the doctor and it's cancer. Won't you just tell God it's okay?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You got a tumor. It's okay.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can imagine happens. Won't you just tell God it's okay?
Amen.
Because, look here. Because God said it's okay.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes.
It's okay. Yeah. I can trust old Sean with this. It's okay. $17,000. That's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. So you're not the cheerleader. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're not the most popular. It's okay.
Yeah, amen.
You don't have a mansion.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
You got a little small church in the mountains. It's okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes.
You get to go home about once every 2 years. It's okay.
Yeah. Amen.
The dog tries to bite you every time you go home because they don't even remember you. It's okay.
Amen.
You're on the road all the time.
Amen.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Got your arm hurt. It's okay.
Yeah.
Printing tracks. That's okay.
Amen. Yeah.
Run a rescue mission, that's okay.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Don't just haul off and tell God it's okay.
Yes, amen.
They hurt me. It's okay.
Yeah.
They're trying to run me off. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Amen. Preach, brother. Yeah, amen.
It's okay.
That's right.
You'd be amazed how many strongholds will be pulled down when you just surrender to what you can't change and what you can't fix.
Amen. Yeah.
Wow. Last point. Y'all really going to like this one. Don't bray. How you like that for alliteration? Y'all know what bray is, do you?
Yeah, amen.
Hee-haw! Hee-haw! That's what donkeys do.
Yeah, amen.
Did you know I've never heard of RCA going to anybody's field and tape recording a donkey braying? Because people just love to hear a donkey bray.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
Donkeys are lonely creatures.
Yeah.
They're out in the middle of nowhere and they'll bray in the middle of the night just because they can.
Yeah.
They ain't need nothing. They ain't want nothing. They're just making a racket, hoping somebody will hear it, and nobody likes to hear it.
Yeah, amen.
The only other creature that likes to hear a donkey bray is another donkey.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is quit complaining.
Yeah.
Quit grumbling.
Yeah.
Quit griping. Ain't nobody wants to hear you but another grumbler.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And another griper.
Amen. Yeah.
come to the piano. Come on. Amen.
It's okay.
Amen. Come tell God it's okay. Amen.
Yeah.